Welcome to The Ether. Today is Friday, August 12th, 2022. Today on The Ether, the IBC gang, Cosmos, Ecosystem, Chart, and Chill. Will options push us higher? Hosted by Crypto Tank. Let's take a listen.
How are you all doing today? I hope you guys are doing great. My name is Tank. I represent the IBC gang channel on YouTube. We're going to be talking about Cosmos, the Cosmos ecosystem. We're going to be charting and chilling out, really trying to pay attention right now to the price action in the charts. Going to see how these markets move. Maybe these options do us some favors. We're going to wait a little bit to let some people funnel in. I know it's midday, so a lot of people may be enjoying their lunch. A lot of people might be just working or whatnot. So it might take a little couple of minutes for people to start funneling in, I can't talk. And yeah, we'll get this party started here in a little bit. What's up, Ivan? What's up, Sab? What's up, Roy? Hope you guys are all having a wonderful day. Happy. Jeez, got to get my words right. Excuse me. I just got back from jiu-jitsu and I'm all over the place. Is it too early to start drinking yet? Can we have some whiskey, some wine, something? Got to relax a little. All right. Let me pull up my computer here. Let me pull up the charts so we can take a look at what we're dealing with while we're waiting for people. Ooh, we're looking good. We are looking good, my friends. Hold on one second. And as always, I do want to say this is always an open platform. Whenever I host a Twitter space, it's always free for anybody as long as you're not a troll. Anybody can come up here and ask any questions or raise any concerns or talk about just about anything that's happening in the Cosmos ecosystem. What's up, Benz? What's up, B? I just want to put that up there, guys. If you guys have any questions while we're talking about what we're seeing right now, just raise your hand. We'll get you guys up here. What is going on, B? I hope you're doing well. All right. Well, let me take a sip of water here and let's carry on while people start coming in. Water is always good. All right, guys, here we go. So we're looking at Bitcoin right now. It's at 24,197. My friends, we are doing really, really good, keeping ourselves in a really good position right now. We still have about two more hours or so as far as the length of time that we have to stay in this bullish position with price action. And why I'm saying this is because we actually have a pretty important close when it comes to weekly options. Right now, we need to stay above bottom line about $23,000. We ideally would like to stay above 23.5. That would be the most bullish case scenario, the best scenario, right? Like, well, and what we're doing right now is obviously like the best scenarios. We just stay above 24. I think if we can stay above 24 earlier, guys, I was reading off some information that's all on-chain data, right? It's all data that you can extract from the exchanges. If we can stay above $24,000, the bulls, all of us bulls, everybody that wants to see higher price points, we could actually claim about $90 million from these bearish option traders out there. They're going to have to cover about $90 million worth of price action. So that is definitely one thing to keep in mind going forward, guys. Oh, we are going 24.2. There we go, my friends. There we go. Blah, what's going on, buddy? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. Can you hear me?
You sound wonderful. How's your day going, man? Or afternoon, I should say.
It's evening. It's almost.
Yeah, I always think it's afternoon, but it's evening. It's actually the evening time for you.
Yeah, man, but you're good.
Awesome. You're doing good?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty well.
So
how are you doing?
Man, feeling good. Had a pretty good no-gi session at jiu-jitsu just a while ago.
Oh, cool.
So it wasn't a jam-packed class. It was a lot of cardio because they just kept cycling in and out. There was about like three or four of us, so it was like there was no rest times, but it was good, man. It was really, really good. Feeling good.
No-gi is crazy.
Yeah, feeling good now, though. That came back now. I'm seeing the price action being where it's at.
Yeah, man, it's pretty nice, actually. I would love to see Bitcoin close over 24,100.
Yeah.
So cool.
Same. So let everybody else know. I know a lot of times I like to invite people up here that don't just agree with me, right? I know Blau and I, we think very similar, but Blau always is, if I'm just going to be honest with you guys, he is always my refresher because he's never afraid to show me things and make me think about the flip side. So I absolutely love listening to Blau's input. Again, I've shared many times on my YouTube channel, his post on Twitter. So if you guys aren't following him, he'll post, I think, almost daily. You're being a lot more consistent about it, but especially definitely when you need to, he's always posting some really good thoughts on charting or whatnot. But Blau, tell me, what do you think? Do you think, like I was saying, if we can close above 24, like you said, 24.1, do you think we're going to, you know, probably carry on to higher price points or?
Well, first of all, I want to say thank you. And I think it's good that we can argue with each other because it makes you learn overall.
Yeah.
And according to the prices, well, it's kind of hard to determine what will happen next because there's so many things to look out for, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I mean, I said it a lot of times, the level 24,100 is such an important level. So if we can close above it, I tend to get more bullish than I am right now. Since, you know, there, if you would check the weekly chart,
mm-hmm.
for example, I mean, it's a higher time frame. And honestly, it looks so, so good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we are about to cross bullish on the MACD, and the Heike-Nashi candles really show that the trend will continue.
Yeah.
Or most likely will continue. Of course, there is always the probability that it can go the different way.
Yeah, always.
That's how trading is.
Always, yeah, so, always. No, I agree with you. I agree. So I like that you're looking at it as just strictly kind of TA wise as well. You know, I'm always throwing out there right now, like for me, it's this little option. It's not that big, admittingly, but there is this option on the weekly time frame that could definitely work in our favor, right? But Dragon, I see you up here, bud. What's going on?
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up? What's up?
Yo.
Thanks for having me on.
Of course. Meow.
Meow. Meow. Yeah, I'm not like a TA guy, and I get that some people are, but like a lot of the people in the industry I'm speaking to are saying like, hey, you know, the macro crypto, we bottomed out, like meaning, you know, the Celsius of the worlds have all gone bankrupt, right? We're not going to hear another surprise there. So like things aren't going to get worse. But my opinion on pricing is we're always just relying on the big picture, what's going to happen in mainstream stock markets and reporting. And I think BTC is just going to follow that trend in general. But, you know, that's why I shift to the strategy of anything that I can just stake and earn rewards. And then kind of who cares if we're in a bear market for another year or 2 years, right?
It's pretty smart.
Yeah, no, especially at these levels, especially at these lows. Like if you're just now getting in to some of these proof of stake, you know, I like to call them options or situations where you can actually stake and get your rewards over a long period of time. I mean, it's a great time.
Yeah, I think so. And then I used to watch the price and I used to trade, and it just wasn't a good lifestyle for me. And I kind of, I don't look at the price that much anymore. So it was a personal thing.
Yeah, no.
I just like to, just stake and chill.
Yeah, no, I get it. Actually, Blau and I were talking about it We were actually very active traders during the last cycle, like a lot of people, right? I've said it many times before, I do trade, but I consider myself, it's a very much long-term swing trader. I mean, I'm talking about, like, if I do trade, it's usually like on a month minimum, or maybe even more sometimes, right? So it's definitely it's definitely on the lower time frames, those day traders. I agree with you. It's just not my lifestyle. I don't like it. It makes me feel uncomfortable. It's stressful. There's so many things to it. But I've taken a back seat to trading, and especially right. Sorry, Dragon. There's like this loud whistling thing in your background. I don't know. Thank you. Sorry. I don't know what that was. It sounded like a forever bird or something. I don't know what it was.
It's my turtle friends. They squeal.
Okay. but yeah, no. So like, I'm right there with you, man. And I think Blau, you're the same, right?
Yeah. Well, I used to be an active trader, especially leverage trading. But I think it's pretty important that you choose your style and how you want to trade. Or if you, I mean, even DCAing is a form of trading, mm-hmm. if you can call that, mm-hmm. and that's totally fine because. The thing is, it keeps the emotion out, like Dragon said, and you don't have to check the prices all the time and get worried over certain things if there is a dump or something like that. I mean, if you're in for the long haul, so you don't have to care about prices.
Yeah,
that's the cool part of it.
I cannot be a leverage trader anymore. I mean, I do dabble here and there, like especially. If you see things at like super lows and you know, it kind of makes sense when you're zooming out and all that stuff, like we got take small little dabbles and stuff like that, right? Small little swings at things. But like, as far as like those meaningful trades, I just can't, man. My emotions go all over the place. I'll definitely forget everything that I'm supposed to be doing that day and just check it repeatedly over and over and over. And it screws with you. And it screws with you. Yeah. So,
yeah.
But yeah, no. So I actually really do, I like what I'm seeing right now with Bitcoin's price action. You know, again, we have a really good bullish trend right now. There's a lot of signals, like you were saying, the MACD. We have one thing on our side as well, and very little time actually for these bears to correct it. But we do have a small options expiry happening. And again, I put it out there. I should have tweeted it so I can actually link it, but it's from Cointelegraph. And again, apologies, no matter what you feel about Cointelegraph, it's just information. And in this case, it's true information. But no. So there's three different, or actually four different scenarios right now, but the one that we're in, according to the data, if we can close above $24,000 and $25,000, there's 3,700 calls versus 120 puts. The net result favors bulls by $90 million. And so that could be a small little catalyst, especially throughout this weekend and into the next week, for us to see not explosive price action, but you know, a really good looking, sustainable, maintainable, and growthy price action to about $25,000 to $26,000. The last one, which would be the best possible scenario, which I don't think it's going to happen. It'd be really, really crazy to see us pump up another $900 or $800. But if we can get up to $25,000 or $26,000, there's 5,900 calls versus 30 puts. The bulls would increase their gains by $150 million. Again,
which is a lot.
Yeah, which is actually that one. I have... Probably the first instead of the latter would more likely probably play out. And we are sitting above 24 right now. So that is a good thing. But yeah, and if we dip down again, it's funny because the actual on-chain data is if we dip down to 22,000 to 24,000, there's 1,600 calls versus 1,460 puts. That net result would be a balance, basically. It'd be a wash between bulls and bears for the option is expiry. So, you know, it's still like we do have room if things do turn around in the next 2 hours or so. But from what it's looking like right now, you know, it does look like we're in that 90 million bullish favor position, which would be really, really nice to go through. And especially for a lot of these alts in the Cosmos ecosystem right now, like that would be really nice. Really, really nice.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's nice to come back after the morning show, after having jiu-jitsu, and then coming back and seeing us come back up to 24. Like right now, as we're speaking, it does look like it's trying to make its push. It's still on the lower end of 24.2. So, you know, we're not just there yet to say it's trying to make its push up to 24.3. But I'll be dang, man, the more and more that we push up, the better and better position that we're in. Again, we don't even necessarily have to get up to $25,000. As long as we stay above conservatively 24.1, like Blau said, I think we're in a really good position. But, you know, hope for the best, prepare for the worst. None of us actually know how these markets are going to go. None of us are actually the whales making these decisions. We're just riding the momentum with them. So please, while I'm saying all this stuff, don't get me mistaken. Always prepare for the reversal. Always prepare for the things that you're not expecting. And when you do so, you're going to be in a lot better position long term. I will say, if we do reverse, we do have right now for Bitcoin's daily chart a pretty good support line right around 22.7. So that is one thing to keep in mind. I think if we do reverse back down, we will see support somewhere around there. But if that breaks down, like, you know, all bets are off. Like, we could come back down and retest some lower levels that we saw before. So definitely don't want to do that, but be a realist, right? Be a realist. If you're in a position right now, maybe even consider taking some profits. It's never a bad thing, not financial wise, but definitely consider it. But yeah, that's what I'm seeing right now for Bitcoin. If anybody else wants to chime in and let me know what they think, just raise your hand. We'll get you guys up here. But if not, we're going to move on into some Cosmos related talk. What's up, DPR? We're going to talk about Atom right now, up 1.33% on the day. Struggle busting right now on my charts for the upper level of which was once resistance. Right now, still holding up as support. That is right around 1150. So it's still like long term looking fine. You know, we just now cut through it over the past couple of days, past 4 days ago. And so whenever you do pop up above a certain level of resistance, expect that to come back down. You at least would hope for that. It does get back tested, right? You don't want to just pull away from it. You always want to come back and retest it to make sure it's, you know, you do have ground underneath you a little bit of support. So right now we are just kind of going through that motion. And there is going to probably be a little bit more volatility. If we do play out with Bitcoin's expectations, like we were just talking about prior, we could possibly see ourselves making that push up to, you know, not ultra high, but like maybe that 12.10 price point or something like that. I think nobody's going to complain with the $12 Atom. I know we're flirting with it right now. But I think right now what's happening with Atom is but basically it's happening across all of Cosmos is everybody's just all eyes on Ethereum and Bitcoin, right? Like we need to see what happens with them. And then they're probably going to go ahead. Oh, okay. That's what you want to do. Options are closed. Okay. Let's go ahead and let's do this. So, you know, kind of par for the course. Right now I'm seeing it just do some really good looking things coming back, retesting that, which was once resistance, hopefully holds up as support. But it's all good right now. Same thing as before. If you're in a position to take profits, I mean, especially on some of these altcoins in the Cosmos, like we're up major, major recently. So it's on you.
I honestly think if we can go, or if Atom can go past 1350, there's not that much important resistance ahead. So
no, not at all. And you can see that easily on the daily on the VPPR wall. That's a good,
exactly,
good thing to point out. That 1350, I have it. It's a little bit lower. I have my 0.382 on my FIB right around 1340. But I agree, it's anywhere within that zone, right? 1340, 1350. Yeah. Once it gets up to there, if we can pop up to there, guys, just look. Just go back and look. Look at the higher time frames at Adam's chart. We're at really key levels right now. And anytime going all the way back here to when we got rejected the first time on January 17th, 2021, when we got rejected and finally decided to pop, we just skipped straight through all of this price action. There was no real resistance that was there for us. So we skipped up there, kind of grinded upwards from about $16 up to about $30 before taking that summer fall. And when we fell during the summer, we bottom out right around $7, right around $8 basically. And then we kind of hovered from $8 to $15, but we only stayed there. we only stayed there, and that, if you guys remember what that was all about, that was definitely an event, but we only stayed there for 61 days. It felt like forever. It really did feel like forever, like 3 months, but it was only 3 months of grinding it out there. But then when you look at when we exploded from that bottom in July 18th, 2021, again, we did the same thing. We just skipped straight through everything else and made a huge run up to $44. It was insane. So again, we could kind of consider maybe that 3 months of price action where we hung out, right, basically where we are right now, to be a little bit of resistance. And, you know, we might chop it out just a little bit. But to Blau's point, if we pop back up to that 382, which is about 1340 to 1350, based on previous price action, there's nothing standing in our way to coming up to those, you know, those $20 and then grinding it straight up to those higher price points in the past. So take a look at the higher time frames. You guys will see what I'm talking about. Right now, it looks really, really good. Right now, things are looking really, really good. But it's all depending on what happens with Bitcoin. So again, if you guys are in profits, be profit takers. It's on you. If you don't take profits from our recent low, I know I keep reminding you guys this, but I'm going to keep doing it because, you know, that's why most people don't make it, is they don't take enough profits. They just keep moonboying it, thinking, oh, it's going to go up forever. It'll never come back down to those levels. It can definitely do that. It can definitely do that. Even with all of our bias, it can definitely come back down to the lower lows again and even further. It for sure can. But right
what,
now.
What is profit, sir?
Yeah, what are you talking about taking profits? What is that?
I don't understand that word.
We just stack. That's all we do. And then, hey, if you have a long enough time horizon, it's all good. Like, I get that. But, like, you know.
Stack and smash. That's just,
what's up, Robo? Let me get you up here, bud. Let me get you up here. It's late for Robo, isn't it? If he can connect.
Who's going to have happy hours soon?
Oh, yeah. What's up, Robo?
Really late here. It's nearly like 3 a.m. or something. But I'm listening and in bed, and I've got the earphones on. The dogs are asleep. I just want to know one thing. You guys, traditionally, September is a shit month. And yeah. Last year, we had an amazing, we had a nice lead up in August, but September was horrendous last year. Historically, where we're going with this, do you guys think that the October-November narrative and the merge narrative, and do you think the September rugging is coming again? Guys, that's all I'm going to say. It's the only thing I want you to get. Talk and I'm going to shut up, bro.
That's a really good, Robo, I love you to death, man. That's a really good question. I actually was thinking about this on the way to jiu-jitsu and then obviously on the way back. So again, what he's talking about, guys, is just averages, right? You guys can go back and look at the lives of the cycles, and usually he's right. Like usually that September, October timeframe throughout the year is usually a bad time for Bitcoin, at least. Not so much. If you look at Atom and some of the altcoins, not so much. Doesn't play out, you know, as bad sometimes, but even if you go back and look at 2021, we had a dump and then we rose up and then we had a dump, but ultimately it didn't last very long. But if we're talking about Bitcoin, it's really unique. So the difference is now we have an ETH merge, which we've heard it so many times. Yeah, ETH merge is going to be on this date. ETH merge for sure this time. Who knows, right? This time I will say it does look like they are prepared, and it does actually feel like for once it actually might happen on the date that they've said this time, all, you know, not being blind to the fact that they've said it a million times, but it just feels like this time might actually be the time. And so with that being said, it might not even be, you know, a Bitcoin or a traditional factor more. We might just see crypto ignore that usual trend of being bearish throughout that time frame just because the merge happens. It might be ETH's time to pull the rest of the crypto market up along with it, because if ETH goes, the father of altcoins, which is I guess not even considered an altcoin anymore, if ETH does pull it off with as little bumps in the road as possible, there will be bumps, but if they can at least pull it off and keep it up and figure things out, it's on. It is on like Donkey Kong. I don't think if they can do the merge, I was going to say it, if they can do that, I don't think we're going to have a bearish a couple of months like we usually do. But who knows, right?
Tank, I'm not going to lie. I posted in the group chat tonight the picture for those that might not have been following me before. Mate, since May last year, if anyone can remember last year and the fucking Chinese mine and the flooding in April that we had, the first upset before the fucking big... If anyone can remember last year, you know exactly what's going on. Mm-hmm. I've been triple top super cycle 2013 replay, but just in fucking 4D in 2022. We're not in 2013. But if you look, man, dude, I've been on this fucking... Now, what is it, August? You're talking May last year, man. Mm-hmm. Dude, I've been on the triple cycle fucking... Triple cycle, double fucking triple top, mate. It has to happen. If it doesn't, me fucking portfolio, me entire life is ruined, dude.
What about a quadruple cycle?
Look, I get it. It is definitely there. And like I was gonna say, but who knows, right? But like, because there, we really don't. Like, there's so many external factors at play right now. And like, to even take this to the thought process even further, right? Like, we're seeing a lot of partnerships happening. I was getting confused, excuse me, but what was it, BlackRock, Grayscale, whatever the hell, He-Man, with Coinbase. And I really do think, come with all this regulation, come with the ETH merge, I would not be surprised that somewhere in between all of that, the approvals behind closed doors, we're not going to know about it. It might even be happening now, but the approvals behind closed doors for a spot ETH, spot Bitcoin on the market is in the works. And like, I
fucking Lido, let's say Lido.
Yeah.
What is it? On the monthly, it's up fucking 384% or something on the monthly Lido.
Yeah. Yep. It's insane. Mayor, go ahead, bud.
Hey guys. Good conversation. Have you guys been going very long, just about 10, 15 minutes or so? Just curious.
Yeah, not too long.
Okay. So mainly talking ETH merge here and like what's going to happen. Is that it? Like
A little bit of everything. Yeah, we're just taking it all into account.
Okay. Right? Yeah, here's the thing. And here's my three bananas worth of commentary. I am concerned that, and like you said, that the big, really big heavy hitters, the Black Rocks and the Fidelities. Uh-huh. I'm concerned they're going to dump on us one more time, and they're just trying to buy the bottom, and they could use something like the news of after the ETH merge, you know, buy the rumor, sell the news to push the market back down and then scrape and buy the bottom. And, you know, then the spot ETF Bitcoin and spot Ethereum ETF comes out, and they all, you know, they loaded up their bags sub, you know, 1500 ETH or 1600 ETH. So that's just my biggest concern. It's like you said, we don't know what's going on in the backroom deals, but as I agree with you, there are some deals going on. And what is it? BlackRock has like $25 trillion in mm-hmm. assets. Now, I mean, what, like, 90% of that's going to go into stocks and bonds, right? 95%. Uh-huh. So, and they're buying up real estate like crazy too. But that other 5% or 3% that is, you know, who knows, half a, you know, 50
it's still
billion.
Still a large amount of money.
Yeah. So the question is, are they going to dump on us after the ETH merge, or have we already experienced the full dump and they've been loading up? You know,
Raul's been talking about this for a long time. For anyone watching his videos, I know he's been fucking so wrong on so many things, yeah. And probably like USD Luna raped him immeasurably. But Raul's been like talking about, like, he's like, the minute the merge happens, people are going to take money off the table. He's been talking about this now since the beginning of last year, mind. Raul, anyone that's following,
the real vision guy.
Yeah. He actually, I mean, he has really good points. But it's no different than like because it's the big, it's a huge lockup period, right? Could you imagine all those people? I said it a bunch of times. It's the same thing for Polkadot, right? Could you imagine all those people that locked up their ETH, locked up their DOT, and rolled out all of this past, you know, what, year and a half, 2 years or whatever, humongous price actions, and then are able to get out? They're going to sell. Like, yeah, I absolutely agree. There's when that merge happens, there's going to be a selling spree.
Polkadot fucking, to be honest with you, Polkadot, Parachain Auction, Lockups, Better Cooks, man, they got destroyed by Kusama. Yeah. I mean, if you were on once, fucking Donny, if you look like that kid, Donny, man, he's what, 8 figures? 9 figures or something rolling, Donny? Hey, Kusama was the fucking bet there, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah, so for people listening that don't understand, the after the merge, a lot of the ETH that was staked for the last year and a half will be able to be unlocked. That's the main point, right? So all that ETH that was staked, that was, people bought it, you know, sub $1,000 or $800 or, you know, $700 per ether. It's been staked for a year and a half, and after the merge, they'll have access to sell.
But that's not the point, though. It's also about the time of the year. This is what a lot of people are not fucking thinking about. And you need to go back to last year and see when the Cardano fucking rug happened, how everybody was expecting in September the Cardano fucking blow off, and all the hedge funds, all the big money, all the smart money, they fucking sold off Cardano long before you plebs even thought about it. They were very clever. And it happened again. I don't know. You have to go back and look. What was it? When was the top, Tank? Bitcoin, was it November the 11th, 12th, 13th, around that time, right?
Mid-November.
And then we had the fucking plug, the big fucking shug, 4th, 5th of December, when, like, the market just plunged, like, in one day, like, we got fucking so many people. Well, some people got rugged. It's happening early. A while ago, there used to be, like, the mainnet and the testnet meme, right? And you all know what I'm talking about, right?
Mm-hmm.
The rumor, the fucking news, what you need to buy, what you need to sell, you all fucking know. Cardano actually happens like so early last year. And all of the fucking smart money is getting ahead of the pleb money. The retail pleb money is getting smart. You've seen Rama, you've seen 360. The retail pleb is getting smart. And the smarter money is getting even, like, or trying to be smarter. Tank, I don't know, I see that, but we'll have to be careful. They're all cunts. Everybody's a cunt.
Yeah, and no, I agree with you. There, you know, the big money, they will use everything to their disposal to ensure that that narrative happens. Like, you know, it's already, like we already say, right? Like, we can go back and look at it. Usually, these times of the year, shit, and like most people, they prepare themselves. That at least have half of a know of what's happened in the past will prepare themselves for that bearish price action between those months, right? And so, you know, it is weird. It is super weird that they would pick. You got to think, like, did you not, the devs at ETH, like, did you guys not think that usually that those months are shitty months? Like, there had to be. I can't think that they're that blind for things. So it's definitely sketchy. Larry, what's going on, bud?
I just wanted to comment on the ETH unlock, but real quick, what you're saying, yeah, these ETH devs are really smart. They know price action. They literally sold the top and profited for the ETH Foundation. But in regards to the ETH to unlock, you don't have to worry about like all of the staked ETH being unlocked at once. How it's going to work is it's going to be a queue. It's going to take over like 400 days for all of the ETH to be unstaked. Or that is if people want to unstake it anyway. So it's not going to be like day one when merge hits, everything's unlocked. It's going to be a really long queue. And also the biggest holders of staked ETH are like Lido and a bunch of exchanges. And so they definitely have incentives to not just completely dump the market.
Thank you for bringing that up. That you're absolutely right. There is. I thought there was a queue for that as well. So
yeah, but I do want to point out that to call, it's an interesting catch-22. You can call them smart because they call the top, or they just call the top because they are the biggest voters. So if they sell, it crashes the market. You know what I mean?
To be fair, guys, I've been shitting my pants over this fucking stake death versus for price. I mean, we were talking about the price action a long time ago. People need to be aware of like the counterparty risk that goes on in this world and what's happening, because we've already been butchered. Like, we need to make sure that there's no, because I don't know about you guys, but there's probably dirty tricks coming. Tank, are there dirty tricks coming?
Oh, fuck yeah. You bet your bottom dollar there is. They're happening right now. We just don't know about them yet.
Yeah, there's like a lot of stuff going on right now with people are buying ETH on the main chain because there's an expectation that they're going to fork the chain. And so there'll be a proof of work ETH and a proof of stake. And so people will likely get an airdrop if they're holding ETH on the mainnet. So people are holding ETH on mainnet and then like shorting futures to hedge their downside. So there are definitely games being played.
So what happens?
ET is going to be, sorry guys, ETC is going to be the fucking proof of work settlement layer. I don't know about you guys. I mean, I've got a tidy little position in there, ETC, and have done since the short squeeze last February at $8. I'm interested in the ETC narrative, mind. I don't want to like interrupt the conversation or anything, but you're talking about the proof of work, the forks. I think ETC might be a fucking winner, right? Well, it's a counter trade, no?
ETH Classic is interesting, but I mean, it's just an older fork of Ethereum, and there's like no dev mindshare actually building stuff there. Really, the only use case for Ethereum Classic is just speculating for traders, like exactly like right now. So it's an interesting play maybe, but I'm not really too interested in ETH Classic.
Yeah. You're talking pre-merge. You're talking pre-merge. None of us know what happens post-merge. We haven't got a clue. It's a counter trade. Isn't it the counter trade, North? Do you want to try to take a little bit of a counter trade?
No, but what are you saying? It goes down to who's building on it, right? And there aren't devs actively building on Ethereum Classic, I think, is so what I've heard. And they've had like funds set up. Charles Hutchinson is a big fan of Ethereum Classic, and he set up like a whole fund. And I don't think it did anything. It could be wrong. This is the last I've heard.
It's all speculation. It's all fucking speculation. I mean, Tank, crypto is speculation, yes or no?
100%. Any investment is a speculation. Yeah, anytime you're always speculating that price, I mean, you can do as much homework as you want to formulate an educated thesis or game plan or strategy, but it's all, you're just speculating on the price either going up or going down. Cosmos, what's going on, bud?
Hello, everybody. Happy Friday. I just want to weigh in on Ethereum Classic, if you don't mind. I was following it quite a bit for about a year. I was kind of tied to the Cardano ecosystem and the Cardano, you know, the company behind Cardano. They were big fans of Ethereum Classic as far as a proof of work chain. Apparently what happened there, and this is just me doing internet research, I don't know any devs or anything, but they were constantly infighting between the devs over what's decentralized enough and what's libertarian enough that they just never built anything. And it got to the point where even like the Cardano team, you know, Charles Hotskin and the others kind of just gave up on it. They're like, well, when these guys are done fighting, maybe they'll actually build something. But right now they're like, they're splitting hairs and they're just like too hardcore with the, you know, libertarian mindset and whatnot. That's just what I got gathered. There is another blockchain. Yeah, I mean, we might be watching the same videos. There's not much info on Ethereum Classic out there, but I did dump it. There is another proof of work blockchain that's small cap that looks promising. I'm not in a position to evaluate like the code and all that, but it's called Ergo, and it will be interoperable with Cardano at a certain point. And you know, if you follow Cardano at all, they have absolutely no DeFi on the chain. They have like a couple of tiny DEXs with a couple million in liquidity. Ergo had some apps on it, you know, basic apps. And I believe they will have a stable coin or have a stable coin already. If they bridge to Cardano and you have all those users, which, you know, you could say what you want about Cardano, they have the most individual users of any chain, including Ethereum, if I'm not mistaken. And if those people get unleashed on a small cap chain and they're able to move tokens back and forth, or there's some way to bridge the two, that might be a good play. I have a small bag. I'm looking to add more. It's hard to get on exchanges, but it's ERGO. Someone with a good tech, you know, sense might be able to be a better judge than me. Look into it. But
look into Where'd you get it?
It's on Gate Ergo. I bought it a long while ago. Excuse me though, bro. No disrespect whatsoever though. How many fucking bull markets are we gonna have before he releases fucking smart contracts? I mean, we are now. I mean, it's gonna be the only man in history, fucking Charles, that doesn't release smart contracts across like fucking three bull cycles if he doesn't sort his shit out. Like,
yeah.
I don't want to go down that road.
They have dApps. The chain, I don't believe, can handle the traffic. So these companies that are building independent of IOHK, they're just sitting back waiting to deploy their apps, and I don't think the chain can handle it. And
I've spoken to a bunch of founders to concur with you. They're really frustrated with Charles and Cardano, and that's bad for Cardano. They want to build stuff and they can't because the technology of Cardano sucks.
What's interesting about Cardano is their NFT landscape is just so much more developed than anything even resembling DeFi, that they're going to have like full-fledged metaverse gaming before they have a stablecoin, it looks like, which is nuts.
Bro, where are you getting your fucking drugs from? Are you honestly trying to tell me fucking guy Cardano or something's more developed than IBC? Am I getting this conversation? Maybe I need to go to bed. I don't know.
I didn't hear what
you're telling me. Is that what I'm hearing? Is Cardano more fucking developed than IBC? Is that what you're saying?
No.
Sorry, bro. I got you wrong. Because I think Cardano is one of the biggest fucking puns he's fucking walking right now, mind.
No, I said it's like 4 o'clock for Robo. He's probably like, what?
The NFTs are developed a lot further along than the DeFi on that chain. I don't think you could compare what's going on in, you know, even one IBC chain with Cardano. Cardano has like zillions of users who can't do anything because there's no stablecoin. There are no other layer one tokens that you could obtain. It's basically the ADA token on these little DEXs that have very little liquidity and a whole bunch of shit coins that people invented.
Guys, I'm going to bed. I'm just going to say, last time I seen fucking Charles, he was riding around on a fucking horse in the desert with fucking eagles on his fucking sleeve or some fucking shit, or eating fucking 25 fucking burgers in some restaurant or something. I mean, I'm sorry, like, if you want me to be serious, Tank, I need to go to bed. I'm sorry, bro. I don't want to interrupt your show.
I'm like,
fucking hell, man. I've had enough of this world. I need to focus. I'm focused on what I'm focused on, but I can't ignore the other, like, shit that's going on right now, like, in the world or whatever. And, dude, honestly, I hope Cardano succeeds. I really do. And I hope it rugs us all and proves us all wrong. But, man, I struggle to fucking ape in or, like, be a part of it. I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry.
No, I think it's understandable. And I think you're not the only one who is more than been patient and maybe just, you know, I've given up on waiting. It's hard when it's been a long time. I do want to say, I had my fun. I made a lot of profits with Cardano in the last run up. But do you guys think, because, you know, I know Cosmos, you were saying they have a huge, and they do, they have a huge amount of users, or at least wallets created, right? Do you think that it's just a fanatical base?
Yes, I think that they very closely resemble a cult. They rally around Charles Hoskinson and these devs who are always promising things, and they don't look outside their own ecosystem except to argue with Ethereum and Solana people on Twitter. It's really tough. But if you could unleash a percentage of that user base onto something like Ergo that's bridged to it, that has DeFi and it's a proof of work chain, that was my point, by the way. I didn't mean to get off track, but that is one chain that could tap into Cardano's user base, because they have so many wallets, man. There's a lot of small users who have been sitting around screwing around with NFTs while they wait for all these dApps that are supposed to deploy. I mean, they don't even really have that good of a wallet, and they've been around since 2017.
Their wallet interface is really bad.
I love the word cult, though, right? I love the word cult because the word cult should be used far more in the entire crypto sphere. The word cult, though, think about it, right, guys? Like how it resonates with you. Like, are you fucking part? Like, because in crypto, what do you see? You see cults every day, and it's fucking dirt. In the Medium article, Laura, that I penned, I was like, it's very important that you understand we are not a cult. You know who we are, obviously. Mm-hmm. I was like, very important. Guys, the cultish attitude is something that is so detrimental to fucking crypto, man. That's my take on it.
No, I agree. And I put myself in there as well, because I was drinking that Cardano Kool-Aid right up until last September when they launched smart contract capability. The token price dumped unbelievably, and then no smart contracts deployed until about February. And it's just, you know, the chain just cannot handle volume. And, you know, that they're always saying, oh, we're building it slow, we're doing our research. They believe anything that IOHK puts into the environment on social
media. I've spoken to devs that are building on the chain, and I got to tell you, they laugh at it. They say, wait a minute, when they announce that smart contracts are coming, the devs knew they weren't. And when announcements are made by Charles, they know that it's because they're building on it, and they are frustrated. So here's a thought.
I'm going to put up a proposal to it's a Cardano development proposal to pull all these devs that are working over there in Cardano over into, well, it doesn't have to be Adam. It could be any one of our space, Juno, all that stuff, to pull them on over, because I think we need to just be done with them. Just pull all of that over to us.
Well, see, a lot of them got funding, right? Because there's a lot of money. And then as founders, they get funding and they get teams. And they go and they build stuff, and then they get frustrated. But it's not so simple just to like throw away the projects and leave. But as founders that are watching other founders build, you know, these are authentic people that like to build. They're frustrated.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I was kind of halfway joking with that, but I'm being serious.
If I, guys, if I printed off all of fucking his papers, his documents, right? Charles's fucking academic fucking papers, right? If I printed them all off and put them in a pile, and then I used them as toilet paper to wipe my ass for the rest of my fucking life, right? Do you know how long I would have to fucking live to? I'd have to live to like fucking 834 just to fucking wipe my ass on these papers every fucking day. And I probably shouldn't be in this spaces right now.
Turtles live a long time.
One thing I wanted to say about Cardano, which could be interesting. Sorry, I'm getting some echo on.
Yeah, sorry. Let's try to mute ourselves when we're not speaking. Even myself.
So one thing that's interesting with Cardano is, or I should say with Tendermint, is it's language agnostic, so you can use any coding language with it. So I think it'd be pretty neat if we could bring over some like Haskell devs and have like a Tendermint implementation with that. That'd be pretty neat.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I think that they probably have a lot of talent there just because that is a large community. And, you know, forget the market cap. Like I said, just looking at the wallets and you know, in Cardano, it's not like Cosmos where you basically have an incentive to have multiple wallets, right? Cardano, if you have, you know, let's say 1 million wallets, it's probably close to 1 million people, right? So it's those people do not know most of the people who just started, you know, learning about the chain recently, they probably think it's normal to just not have a stable coin, not have DeFi, no lending, no nothing, no synthetics. And it's that, and I do think that's why the NFT scene over there is pretty interesting, but it's just people killing time, right? They're like, oh, well, I'll just play with my tokens with NFTs instead of using them for actual finance. It's really frustrating because I've been following them since like around this time, 2017. like the day they hit the central exchange I use, I bought the tokens. They were like 2.5 cents. And, you know, I watched all these videos. I got to learn about what proof of stake actually was by watching IOHK's materials. And then by the time it became, you know, heavily marketed, I lost my interest and just kind of moved over to Cosmos and Algorand even.
And Cosmos Defi, you're making videos on Raccoon, aren't you, you little fucker? Sorry, I'm only going to mention it, mate. I love that video. Thank you very much.
Oh, no problem, man. I'm going to make more. I just wanted to give you guys your due just because the project's been really, you guys have had solid news and actual concrete developments happening, and not many NFT collections or DAOs can say the same. So nice job.
Speaking of DAOs, did anyone check out the Neta DAO yesterday and stake their Neta?
What's the staking period, bro? I heard there was a fucking right dump because fucking no. I heard no one's happy with a fucking Neta DAO staking period.
I'm actually pretty happy with it. I mean, I love it. Like it's just for like no one's gonna sell their Neta that stakes it. I mean, it's like a 4 month unstaking period or something. But it's the Pupmos even said in the Discord that there's gonna be airdrops to Neta stakers just because it's like it's a token that shows like who were early supporters of the Juno ecosystem and stuff. And so if people are willing to forego staking rewards, there should be some good airdrops for Neta stakers.
I sold the last of mine at fucking 2,600. I was fucking long gone there, like, bro. Sorry.
Yeah.
Greatest respect to Juno. Why I didn't sell a fucking 3,600, I don't know. I watched it drop a grand and then I sold, but never mind. We learn.
I love the Neta. I actually did get a good chunk out of that. That was like one of the few times where I did sell pretty much the top. So I was really happy with selling that airdrop. But I did grab me some more Neta on the way down recently. I'll have to check it out. I haven't staked it yet, but I'll definitely have to check it out.
Guys, what's going on with Neta? Because the fucking troopers were delayed for like 1 million years. And then apparently I'm getting DMs today saying like the staking period's outrageous. Can somebody point me in? Because I sold fucking a long time ago. I kept 0.5 in each wallet. The rest of it went on Raccoon NFTs that are up multiples. I mean, what's really happening with their Neta tank?
I was in their Discord and I'm in so many Discords, like many of you guys, right? And there's just never really, it's all under wraps usually for the past couple of months. And you don't really hear much of anything. And I'm sorry, I'm going to be honest. Some people might love Pupmos and all this other stuff. But like if Pupmos tells me that something's going to happen, Pupmos has been saying that he's going to put out his own thing for forever as well. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, I don't know. Maybe I have like one or two Neta, which means nothing to me. I can stake it, whatever, and just get some kind of benefit out of it. But like somebody needs to tell me more because I don't see anything happening.
Tank's got raw. He's got raw fatigue. Do you know raw fatigue? Yeah. Where we all fucking waited. Where raw should have dropped before Prop 16, beginning of March. But I tell you what, Tank, don't get me started on this at this time of night when I should be going to bed.
You need to go to bed, bro.
It's like 5 o'clock now.
Do, man. Like, do people think we're fucking stupid? I mean, I don't know about you lot, but what? The three best airdrops like I've ever had in Cosmos have to be, first of all, Neta, SOM, and Stars, and probably Asset Mantle after. But man, if anybody says like, oh, Cosmos hasn't had a load of shit this year, man, the fucking bullshit we put up with, man, bro. I'm just enjoying the nice airdrops I've had. Sold them off, did what I did, bro. I need to leave. I need to go to bed, dude. This is the last thing I want to see. I love you, Tank. Good night, son.
Love you, bro. You go to bed.
In terms of like what Neta does, I'm going to be completely honest. I'm not really playing Neta because I'm interested in like what they're building. It's purely a trade. They have like a small token supply, and what wasn't claimed, they burned. And now with people locking up tokens, there's not going to be that many tokens out there. So the price is very easy to move. I bought, I think, between like $40 and $50. And yeah, it moved up fast, like 3x. So That's really the reason I'm playing it. I only staked a little bit of Neta, and I have the rest of my Neta in the Juno Neta pool, and I'm hoping to just unbond that since it's 14-day unbonding. If we do see significant price increase,
I just gotta say, like, one of the biggest reasons too that I rebought back at these lower levels, right? I didn't catch the absolute bottom on them. I wish I did, but I did buy back. And it's kind of nostalgic in a way because I'm a Juno bull. I love Juno. I love Juno through and through. And I just absolutely loved, you know, the whole concept of Neta, everything you just said. It's, you know, it's a low supply. It's a store value. They weren't, you know, they weren't doing anything crazy. They literally presented it as such, and they burnt the rest of the remaining of it. So it's kind of like one of those where you just got to, especially at some of these points. Like if you love Juno, and it came down to these points, especially after, I mean, guys, I'm telling you, just on the airdropped alone, I didn't spend anything. Just on the airdrop alone, I made over 30 grand on an airdrop. Like, by far, one of my best airdrops in Juno, as far as like free money, right? But like, I gotta give it back love. It gave me so much free money. I could spend $5,000 again buying it at the low. But yeah, so again, I while I'm saying all this stuff, I don't know what's happening with Neta. Hold me some Neta, just because, and I'm fine with that. Just because, you know, who knows what's gonna. You look at things that's not very like apples to apples, but if you look at Neta versus Ion, like something could turn out, and everybody's still like, if you just look at the recent price action for Ion, right, jumped right back up briefly to $1,400, and you know, there's a lot of work, and people are very very bullish on what Ion could do. Not saying that it's exact great apples to apples comparison, but you know, so could Neta in the Juno ecosystem. So yeah, I agree. Yeah, so it's really super interesting stuff happening right now. I'll kind of go back to the main topic, and if you guys want to jump in and, you know, carry on another part of the conversation, we can definitely do that. I believe we left off on the Atom. Did we talk about Secret yet? Blau, remind me, did we talk about Secret or Juno?
Nope. We started, or we had just Adam.
Okay, yeah, we were talking about Adam. So we're sitting there. We talked about it earlier. We're just kind of retesting previous resistance, hoping that it dips into support again. That resistance line for me on my chart is right around $11.50. So we're above it right now. It looks really good. I think it's just in a holding period until we figure out in the next hour. I believe it's in the next hour that we're going to see what happens with Bitcoin. And again, guys, right now we need to stay above 24.1. for Bitcoin options expiring happening here shortly in order for us to pretty much claim $90 million. So again, just to give you guys that little thought that you guys can keep in the back of your pocket as we move on and talk about some of these other tokens, we need to stay between 24,000 and 25,000 for Bitcoin's price. If we do, guys, there's 3,700 calls versus 120 puts. The net result favors bulls by $90 million. So again, that would be a nice little catalyst and a nice little thing in order for us to kind of get an alley-oop or maybe a boost up over the next couple of weeks as we lead into this very questionable time of the year when we get into more than likely, like Robo was saying, some bearish months ahead of us. But again, that would be a nice little catalyst. Again, I just want to put the more bullish scenario. I don't think it's going to happen in an hour. But if Bitcoin can close between 25,000 to 26,000, we're looking at 5,900 calls versus 30 puts, much different, 30 puts, bulls would increase their gains to $150 million. So again, nice, not the biggest options expiry, but definitely a very important one for us to utilize if we can sustain ourselves in this fashion right now for Bitcoin. With that being said, again, please interrupt me if you guys want to chime in. With that being said, I'm going to move on over to Secret. Secret doing well.
Hey, real quick.
Yeah, go for it.
So the options expire at in a couple hours, you said, or an hour?
I believe it's 3 o'clock Central Time. I believe, I could be wrong, guys, but I believe they close at 4 Central.
Okay, because I always thought it had something to do with Sunday, but I think Sunday is when
Sunday opens back up.
Yeah, that's when it opens back. And that's when they mark the weekly charts, too. It starts on Sunday evening. Got it.
Sunday. Yep. Yeah, and it's a little different, too, for TradeFi. But yeah, it's basically Friday to close around 4 Central. Mm-hmm. Opens back up, I believe, the same time on Sunday. So
Yeah, I don't know that whole lot about those options, but it's so you're saying the contracts expire, so it's either you're in the green or you're in the red, right?
Yep, you got to call them if it is. And right now, like I was saying, just to put it out there one last time, I know I've said a bunch of times, if we close per this article, per this, and I've checked it out, could be a little different right now because a lot of these bearish option traders should have been making their moves or whatnot, trying their best to get it done. And it could have been, you know, part of what we saw yesterday or whatnot. But if we mm-hmm. close 24 to 25,000, that's 3,700 calls versus 120 puts. That would give us the bulls at least 90 million to play around with a little bit of cushion. And then again, if we can pump up for some weird reason up to 25, that'll give us, if we can close above 25 in the next hour, that would give us 150 mil. So
that'll be interesting to see. There's been a little bit of price action and stuff. So, hey, mm-hmm. quick question. Did you see there was an interview? Sonny did an interview yesterday. It was recorded by Terra Spaces.
No, I did not. I did not. I don't get to catch all of them.
Yeah.
I know that Terra Spaces did it. I can just easily go back and listen to it. But what happened?
Props to Terra Spaces. Yeah. one of the validators got an interview with Sonny. He was asking him a lot of questions about the incentives. And just about how, like, the Osmo incentives, like, why are they incentivizing so many of the smaller coins? But it was really good. Sonny explained to him. He's like, well, they're hardly getting any incentives at all. The majority of the incentives go to the top five pools.
Mm-hmm.
It has to do with volume and liquidity. I think he kind of broke down the incentive structure and stuff like that. So it's a good listen.
We were talking about this earlier. Sonny is just getting so, like, a lot of people might not think that about Sonny because they just see him recently and see how well he's been getting at speaking, to a large group. But he's getting so much better at, like, explaining things and speaking to audiences, which he used to not, like, not this and another. He used to not speak mm-hmm. as much, but he's getting so much better at that. So yeah. I'll have to go back and listen to that.
Yeah, but the good take from it was like, Sonny was defending the fact that a lot of people are complaining about the Osmosis price and how incentives have been putting downward pressure on the token, and he's like, we're going for the long game here. We have like a 5 to 7 year plan, and the plan is to build a platform and build users. And he's like, that's been the plan from the beginning, is to incentivize this DEX, you know.
I think I caught a little bit of that space yesterday. I think it was Crypto Like Mo, if that's the one you're talking about. He was I agree, that was an awesome space. I've kind of shit on like Osmosis a little bit in the back. I passed, I think, mostly just because I got wrecked in UST. But after he was explaining some of like the reasons they're doing what they're doing and their long-term focus, I am becoming more like more tank, just like a super bull on Osmo long term. So I've been trying to increase my position a little bit in that. I'm probably going to start putting my Evmos rewards towards Osmo.
The way Sonny explains it is, he's like, yeah, there's going to be, I mean, he doesn't come out and say it, but he's just like, the goal is to get to revenue positive. Like, you know, and we're one of the few chains that has a path towards being revenue positive, as, you know, once you get enough users and, you know, fees and stuff. So he was kind of taking some hard questions from Crypto Like Mo, but I really was impressed. And I've heard Sonny explain this before. It's just a lot of people in crypto, they can't think out that far. They can't think out more than, you know, freaking 2 weeks. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Because everybody's speculating. Anyway, yeah.
So one of the metrics to look at is, I think it's like TVL divided by market cap. And I think Osmo has got like a pretty good ratio compared to some other DEXs. But also, it's got similar tokenomics to Uniswap. I think it's a max supply of 1 billion. And Uniswap pulls in a ton of money. They have a ton of revenue, except all of that money just goes to the Uniswap Foundation. So really, the focus with Osmo is distribute all of these tokens to the early people who support it, and they're the ones long-term who will benefit from the revenue.
The next 48 hours are going to be, I presume, consumed with Terra Spaces. So has Osmosis like defunded Terra Spaces? Does anybody know anything about this? I don't fucking know anything.
No, I didn't. What?
No, I think they're completely volunteer. They just take donations, Terra Spaces. I believe they're just completely donation based. But I think you were you posted, it's like someone needs to support these guys a little more, because they're doing a lot of good work of recording all this stuff.
Yeah, I will say there's I've even been part of a few discussions in the circles that I speak with on how to see that happen, because I agree with you. It's super important. It's a great service that he's doing. So, but no, yeah, I didn't know anything about that. Hopefully not. I'd like to see the latter. Actually, I'd like to see him actually get some kind of funding, maybe from a combination of effort from protocols in our space. I mean, hell,
I mean. Look, dude, I might be wrong. I might have this wrong. But if I've got it wrong, but it's out in the conversation, I'm happy to, like, take my fucking loss.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I don't know. Gosh, I was thinking of something. I totally forgot what I was talking about, Oh, well, it happens all the time. While you guys were all talking about proof of work earlier, not to go all the way back there, we don't have to hash that. I just want to, while I was thinking about it, now that I finally got it back in my mind, you know what I would absolutely love to see? Kind of like a hybrid mechanism or something like that enter the Cosmos ecosystem, to where we have some kind of like backup on one of these chains, like a proof of work layer to ensure that, you know, things don't fall to the ground anymore and just completely halt and stop. I can't remember. Maybe it was Sunny that posted something of that nature, where they were talking kind of like a hybrid system like that. But I would absolutely be the first one to fire up. If it was GPU compatible, I would fire up all these GPUs that I still have left over from mining ETH.
Yeah, the other week I was actually watching some of Sunny's old presentations when he worked back at Tendermint. He's talking about like Tendermint Core and stuff. And one of the things he mentioned is how with Tendermint, you can use proof of stake, proof of work, proof of authority, really anything you want. It would be, he said himself, if no one does this in the next couple of years, he's going to build a IBC-enabled proof of work chain.
Would love it.
That would be amazing. But I totally agree. I think that'd be really cool. I know the Nomic team was working on some like merge mining proof of work chain, but I think they've since moved on to just focusing on their side chain.
Yeah. You guys don't underestimate Sunny's plan. I mean, hopefully he can just continue to build a team around him. And it's such a competitive space for you know, big brain talent and dev talent. But I would just don't underestimate, I know a lot of people are like, yeah, the Osmos token is tanked and stuff like that. And full disclosure, guys, you know, I mean, I've got a lot of Osmos staked, but I really, listening to him, he has a larger plan. He has like a long game plan, and he talks about it in that interview. He's like, yeah, he's like, we're trying to build something out for, you know, the next 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I just wanted to say, when again, full disclosure, just like Mayor said, I hold up quite a bit of Osmo as well. But like I've been saying this for a long time, when I look at the Osmosis platform, I literally see the same thing as Binance or BNB, like the BNB token and representative in place. You guys get what I'm saying. But Theo, I saw you had your hand up and that you're hopefully ready. What's up, buddy?
Oh, I'm cool. Hi, everyone. Kind of new here. I kind of saw the space.
I don't mean to cut you off. I don't know if it's just me, but I'm having a hard time kind of hearing you. It kind of goes in and out, and it sounds like there's kind of some kind of humming happening. I'm sorry.
Oh, is it better or no?
Yeah, much better. Go ahead, bud.
All right. So I was kind of saying I'm more of a developer, less of a trader, and I kind of got very, very interested when you guys were talking about building a proof of work chain on, I think, part of the Cosmos chains. Maybe Parachain, the way Polkadot does their chains or whatever. And I just wanted to lay an example, like, because I'm actually a Rust developer. I was building on Near and Stacks before I kind of read about Cosmos and actually fell in love with the whole project. So I would like to give an example of Stacks. Stacks actually does a layering on Bitcoin proof of work. So I think it's very, very much possible for them to actually build something like that. I'm not actually thinking of doing something like that, but it's very, very possible, very, very feasible.
I'd be very bullish on that. So, yeah.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. If you're a Rust developer, you should check out Ethan Buckman in the Cosmos ecosystem. He's working on rewriting the Tendermint core in Rust rather than Go, so that might be something more accessible.
Oh, you said Ethan Buckman, like someone I'm supposed to follow on Twitter, yeah, or a co-founder of Tendermint, or yep. Who exactly? Yep. Sorry. I didn't quite get you, sorry.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, yeah. I said check out Ethan Buckman. He's working on writing the Tendermint repo in Rust to make more developers more accessible.
Oh, that guy. Yeah, I kind of follow him on GitHub. I'm actually using his not actually using. I'm just test running his Tendermint RS version, which is the Rust version. I'm sorry to push over these chats with the development side. I would really love if you guys can continue your chats. I'm kind of new here. And I think I follow only like 3 or 4 of you guys, and I'd actually love to be part of this community long term. So I'll give a lot of you guys a follow. I hope I can actually be part of your ecosystem.
No, yeah, that's cool, man. Like, we'd love to hear that. And man, how crazy and how the possibilities if Ethan completes that writing it in Rust, like we'd just be able to pull all of those devs, all of them. That'd be so much fun. That'd be a blast to be in the ecosystem during that time. So yeah, that's awesome, man. I'm glad you're here, brother. And definitely follow IBC Gang on YouTube. That's all I can say. You should definitely do that. IBC Gang on YouTube. Just I gotta take my shot, guys. I gotta take my shot while it's there.
There's no shame in that.
I actually follow up IBC Gang. I follow Cosmos ecosystem. I think most of the major chains, a few validators, I actually follow them up. I've actually had the chance to talk with, I think, 1, 2, 3 validators, and actually, in general, the whole Cosmos space is kind of nice, because on NEAR, it's kind of very, very hard to actually relate with fellow developers, fellow holders, validators. It's very, very hard, but yeah, on the Cosmos ecosystem, it's kind of like a full family, and I'm actually encouraged to actually stay here. I really thank you all for actually letting me speak. I'm actually a Nigerian. I kind of noticed that the crypto world, development and stuff like that is kind of very, very like on the low and in the African aspect. And I'm actually part of a big team. I think if you check on my profile, you actually see me tagging some of these teams. That is the Encrypto Encrypted Stackers Pool. We are a bunch of kind of developers, blockchain developers that are willing to build Interchain. And I think the Cosmos IBC is kind of my calling. So I'll be following up that on my own aspect. But thanks again.
Yeah, no, thank you. I think it's, you know, honestly, I think that's a very interesting conversation that not a lot of people liked it, because it's not, you know, it's not flashy, it's not exciting and all that stuff. To me, I feel like it is, but like those regions in the world, those sections in the world, you know, it's only a matter of time. Like obviously, like we were just talking about ADA, you know, that's their whole thing is, you know, bringing IDs and working in Africa and all this other stuff. But it's only a matter of time until those nation states or parts of the world does see full blown, like that's where it's going to actually explode, like really explode, when you start seeing those parts of the world band together with developers and people come out of the shadows, and you know, the interest kind of really peaks. So I would suggest to you, man, if Cosmos speaks to you, which obviously speaks to a lot of us, you know, stick with it, you know, try to spread it in your part of the world. And you know, that's how things like that actually start. It's a domino effect, right? There's got to be that one domino first that starts it off, and then it just kind of picks up with momentum. And before you know it, it's a really big thing in Nigeria, or you know, any part of Africa or any place really. So I'm all for it, man. I'm glad you're here. And yes, I agree as well. Cosmos is probably one of the very few, if not the only place, where on a daily you could come to Twitter Spaces or even some of these Discords or YouTube video and talk to validators, developers personally. I don't know of any other space that does it as much as we do. I mean, any given day, just take a look at the spaces that's happening. You have validators, devs, and higher ups in all these different sections of the Cosmos that you can, you know, just have direct contact with or interactions with. It's amazing. So yeah, fully agree with you. Okay, we were talking about, and again, if anybody wants to jump in, just let me know or cut me off. I don't mind. But a secret right now, at 129.6, it's up 1.28% right now. Actually, to be honest with you, it's getting rejected on our pretty long term, what we've been sharing on the YouTube channel, section in the chart that is resistance. That's right around 131. So it's, you know, it's ping ponging between our 0.5 and our 131 resistance level, but it's doing it on the high end. I think it's just waiting, much like everything else, for Bitcoin to kind of do its thing and close the daily today. So we got to watch out and see what happens. I'm telling you right now, much like a lot of other IBC coins that we're going to talk about here in a second, a lot of these, once we recapture these key levels on the charts, can explode to the upside really, really quickly. And I'm talking about for Secret, if it can stay where it's at right now, it could pump up to realistically $1.50 quite fast. Juno, if you guys have any questions about that, let me know as well. Juno is at a really, really, again, big level. I've been sharing this on my Twitter. I shared it about a week and a half ago, whatever it was, that if we didn't see resistance, we did for a brief moment at $5, we would shoot up to $6. And lo and behold, we've been here for about a week now trying to retest the $6 range. The longer we stay hugging $6, the better it is for us. And especially since Bitcoin and the rest of the crypto market is in a really bullish position right now, do not think that we cannot come back up to our previous levels of short-term resistance, which was right around $8. We could pop up just like we did with the $5 price point and pop right through it and get right back up to $8. If we do that, we can really easily get back up to $10. That's a double-digit Juno. I don't think anybody's going to complain about that. Seriously, we have so many things happening for the Juno ecosystems, whether it be, and if we have, you know, hey, I think they're still here, Traders and Loop, Loop Finance platform is going to be launching hopefully on Tuesday. I'm really, really excited for that for you guys, Traders. And we have several other things like DAODAO, right? DAODAO, the amazing news just yesterday. A lot of crazy things happening for Juno. So quite easily, if as long as we stay in this kind of position that we are right now, easily, doubt me, I'm telling you, it could easily pop up to those levels. Larry, go ahead, bud.
Hey, I don't want to derail you from talking price, but in regards to Juno, since you brought up, what do you think about the new chain Neutron? That's going to be kind of like a Juno Cosmwasm, but it's going to be secured with interchain security through Atom.
Sorry, I'm taking a drink of I couldn't stand it anymore. I had to go get me a small little alcoholic beverage. I'm hopeful for it. I'm like, it's a little early, right? Like it's super early. All of these things, I'm bullish on it, but I'm a conservative degen. So like right now, I'm still waiting to see how things play out. I think personally, I will probably get into position, probably not a like ultra bullish position, because as we've seen, it kind of seems to be the way, unfortunately. But usually when things first come out, like they got to find its footing. It's like a baby giraffe, right? Like it gets up, it wobbles, it goes back down. We saw this with Juno and it goes through its growing pain. So I'm hopeful on it, but I'm not overly bullish just yet because still I need to see more. So
yeah,
I need to look into it a little bit more and see if there's anything else. And maybe I can cover that in Monday's live stream as well.
Yeah, I need to look a bit more into like who's building. I don't know if like Zaki's part of that project. I would be interested in that. But I think one thing that it probably will maybe lack is the community in Juno is just so strong. Mm-hmm. We've all been through so much. So we'll see if they can imitate that with their community.
Yeah, I agree. Feel free to derail me all you guys want. Like it's all good. That's what these spaces are for. So Juno, yeah. But again, guys, I'm putting out those really hopeful situations, but hope for the best, prepare for the worst. If not, again, easy level, right? Just look for $450, $5. I got levels at $440 and well below. Like I'm always ready to reinforce my positions with more positions on the way down. Long term, though, I gotta be honest. My bias is that I'm super bullish for Juno. So that's that, right? But if you guys want to see what those levels are, I'll put them in our Discord. I invite everybody come check out our Discord. It's really easy. Just find it through the IBC gang on YouTube. It's linked down below in all of our videos. Super, super easy. Osmosis, we were talking about that earlier. It is hitting resistance. Resistance is 120 to 125. It's been holding up for a long time now, but it is holding up on the higher section right now on the charts, still kind of hugging to that resistance line, which is a good thing. The more you set, test said support and or resistance, the better. It is trading at 119, like I said, up $1. I'm sorry, up 1.34% on the daily time frame. I think if we can just hug where we are right now, we can easily pop back up to about $1.20, $1.25 and hug and thread through that resistance for a little bit. Just the fact that, again, that we've been here for about a week now and steadily staying here for about a week now, just kind of reinforces my thoughts that we could make another 10 cent pump or even realistically, conservatively, a 5 cent pump and kind of maintain that price point, which, again, I'm long-term bullish on Osmosis, like we were saying earlier. So I will say there are some concerns on my chart. That there is a red dot on market cipher B, which usually means that there's going to be price suppression coming in if this confirms. So I think if it's going to make a move, it needs to make a move and cancel that out. Not to say that it needs to dump entirely, but if it does dump, look out for, again, 110, 105. Really easy to look at this. 110, 105, 90 cents, and then the low levels down below. But I really do think it's going to hold up. But that's just maybe a little bit of my bias. I don't know. Evmos right now kind of having a hard time recapturing a certain levels. It's sitting on a really key level, which is 185 for me. It's basically where it's at right now. It's been in the past, if you look at it on the daily time frame using Heikin-Ashi candles, going all the way back to August 5th, it has been multiple times wicking up to that level and getting rejected. In fact, it did it back to back to back to back to back until August 11th. Where we kind of broke through, but have yet to actually hold above in a bullish way. So again, a lot of weird things though with Evmos, a lot of things to take into account, right? With Evmos, but it is hanging at that key level right now. And I do think, just like all the other tokens, if Bitcoin can close in a bullish form here in the next 30 minutes, maybe, just maybe, we have a chance to make a push to $2 and maybe even $2.15. That is the next level of major resistance. You can quite easily see that using Japanese candles and the daily time frame back when we actually were wicking there and getting rejected from basically July 16th all the way through price action to July 23rd. Every freaking day we wicked up to there and got rejected. So it's a key level, which was once resistance, probably going to hold up again going forward. But that's what I'm looking out for. Again, if it does falter, if we do come back down, take a look at these levels. On my chart, they are 175, 159, and then in between 137 and 142. And then I have ultimate lows that I'm ready to DCA and reinforce my positions, which is basically right about 110 and then all the way down to 80, 81 cents. That's the big, big wick that happened on July 20th. It's there, so you got to be prepared for it, guys. Let me take a look at a couple of other things. Blau, I can't believe you're still awake. Are you still awake, by the way?
Yeah, I am.
Oh, wow. It's got to be so late for you.
Well, it's 10:30, so
it's easy. Okay, it's not that. Okay, weekend, not that, man. Late. Yeah. It is Friday. That's true. It is Friday. Yeah. I'm jumping over real quickly to the Osmosis platform. I'm going to take a look at some of those tokens on Osmosis, kind of try to just really quickly see if there's anything that stands out right now as far as the movements in the charts. I don't even want to bring it up, but Litecoin had a 16.47% move. That's insane. What's that all about?
Look at the volume change.
509. Holy crap.
Insane.
Has anybody been keeping up with Litecoin? Not Litecoin, like I like something coin. That's a wow.
What's going on there? I have not, but I have staked them.
Are you staking it?
Yeah, at least I got some airdrop once.
Interesting. So you're just staking the airdrop. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I would not buy it.
Yeah. Well, I'm one of those guys where I need to hear, or at least need to see activity from the developers all the time in order for me to be interested. And I just haven't, I don't even know anything of what's going on with Litecoin. Go ahead, Theo.
All right. I was kind of, that's when I actually got into the ecosystem. I kind of checked most of the chains and projects actually already making names in the Cosmos system. And I kind of didn't see much enthusiasm on the part of the community, of the Litecoin community. I just wanted to say that I didn't really see much. They actually posted a few things. I checked their GitHub. They didn't do much updates on their chain. They didn't do much updates on their DApp documentation and stuff. So I wasn't really in on it. I kind of liked most of these higher chains like the Osmosis, Juno. And there's some kind of projects I actually loved, and I would love to actually build some DApps on them too.
Yeah, I agree. I look for the activity from just on a social aspect of things. Like, you know, you gotta be socially active and connecting with your base or your community. And I just didn't see that. I'm not fighting it or nothing. I just didn't see it, and I still don't know. So if anybody knows why Litecoin might be seeing so much volume or so much change happening recently, definitely fill me in. You know, one that's we covered it this other day. I don't know how you guys say this. I always say T grade, whatever. It's actually showing some really good strength. I mean, in volume today, it's up 121%. Price action is up 8.58% on the day. In fact, we covered it yesterday. I feel even more worse because we could have bought this on the low at 34 cents, and it's up right now on spot 42. So, like, man, it's been making a move. Is anybody here informed or know what's going on with T grade, whatever, and why we're seeing all this bullishness? Let me know.
I think I saw maybe a tweet that they were adding incentives on their pools, but I'm not sure if that would contribute to all that volume. I'm not sure.
That'd be wild if they're just incentive hunting. That's a lot of volume. Like, literally from let me measure this actually, from the low on August 2nd to where we are right now, not even the high, but where we are right now, that's 165% in 9 days. That's insane. That's yeah, I missed that boat. Yeah, you can't catch them all, but I missed that boat. Let me see some other ones real quickly, guys. And we've been talking for quite a while, so I'll just kind of, unless anybody else has anything they want to speak on or bring up. Let me see here. I don't see anything else really sticking out.
Resistance is down a lot, actually.
Yeah.
So funny enough, 3 weeks ago, we were having our Twitter spaces on Friday where we were all talking about Comdex, and I have some of my Comdex unbonding tonight. I don't know if maybe that's people getting out of like the persistence ecosystem. That would be interesting to see.
Josh, I, you know what? I actually forgot that I started unbonding my Comdex too.
Yeah, I left. I don't want to change it to a Comdex discussion, but I left half of it in case they build a product. But I just had to get rid of half of it just because of what was going on.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know what? But hold on. Let me double check. I don't want to fight anything, guys. You know, hey, look, we don't need to go into here. A lot of people already know, you know, Asymanto Comdex conversation, all this other stuff, blah, 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 blah. Let me just be sure. I think I actually did. Did I unstake? Yeah, I did unstake. Okay, so I just wanted to be sure I'm not spreading FUD. I don't think I'm going to sell it all because they are still where I saw earlier today. I actually saw them still working on their platform. They're still doing their thing. And again, the conversation, for me at least, full disclosure, would be totally different if they had a product out. So yeah, but I just wanted to be sure. I just wanted to make sure that I'm not speaking out and saying something wrong. I did unstake, but we'll see. Yeah, I'm not seeing anything else really sticking out to me. Again, guys, watch out for that daily close today. We're looking okay. We're looking okay for now. I'll leave it open for another minute if anybody wants to bring up anything or talk about anything. If not, I'm going to
push price down right now.
Are they trying to push? Below. It's so late. Why are you doing it now? Why are they doing it now? You got less than 30 minutes. Jeez.
Yeah, it's always like that somehow.
That is true. They, you know, take that last ditch effort, try to push it down. But
I just wanted to say real quick, I gotta step down, but there was a thing you said a few weeks ago which has resonated with me so much and changed my life. It was to become addicted to taking profit. And since you said that, it is just like, it has been all, my most favorite thing to do is as soon as I've seen green numbers, just close like 75% of my trade, move my stops and profit. I truly have become addicted to taking profit, and I appreciate that.
Man, the small things like that mean the world to me. I do a lot, and I'm not going to go into this big spill. I do a lot of this stuff, at a loss, not just a financial loss, but a time loss and all this other stuff. I do a lot of this stuff. But things like that, when I hear people say stuff like that, it makes it all worth it, guys. Like, be a profit taker. Be the one that is reaping, you know, the benefit between the relationship between you and what you invest in. And that means being the abuser. It sounds crazy, guys, but you need to switch on the abuser side of your mentality, your personality, whatever it is, and reap the benefits in the relationship that you are in between your capital and your assets. The things that you guys invest in need to be generating you profits. And there's nothing wrong with taking profits. Please practice consistent profit taking. That means the world to me. I'm glad that you are now, you know, doing that consistently, because that really does separate the winners from losers. The people that complain and talk shit are the ones that just don't know how to take profits. The people that don't believe in things are the ones that the bears, the shit talkers are the ones that don't know how to take profits and reward themselves. And so again, I'm so glad. I'm humbled, and I'm glad that you got something out of it. With that being said, guys, I'm going to take one quick moment to chill out. If you guys would come check out the IBC Gang channel on YouTube, it's real simple. It's just IBC Gang on YouTube. We're trying to grow. We're trying to do it from the ground up. We're trying to do it organically. I don't take allocations from protocols. I don't take partnerships. I don't take sponsorships. I'm just a regular dude in the mud with you guys, crawling it out, like trying to make it. And really, it would really mean the world to me if you guys just come and subscribe and like the videos. But yeah, appreciate and you guys.
Join the Discord.
Yeah, join the Discord as well. What's up? What's up, Theo? Go ahead.
I have noticed you actually do a lot of campaigns on the IBC protocol. Are you like one of the main men on the IBC protocol? Sorry to ask.
No, I'm not a dev at all. I'm not a dev at all. It's actually a conversation we've had many, many times before, but I'm friends with, and I rub elbows and talk to many different devs, many different validators. I have the highest regards for all of them. If you guys don't know, actually, the main validator Discord or group for most IBC chains is actually called IBC Gang. But no, I consider myself a protector of the ward. I protect this sector. And yeah, I'm just an average dude that that does his best in the IBC. So again, look at the price action, Blau. Look at them. They're saying, we're going right back up. We're going right back up to 24.1. 24.1's reclaimed again. Yeah. Saying no. Guys, watch price action. Watch the close that's going to happen here in just a few minutes. Take profits. Be blessed. I'll speak to you guys soon. Take care, guys.
Bye, guys.
Peace.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was the Cosmos Ecosystem Chart and Chill with the IBC Gang, hosted by CryptoTank, recorded on Friday, August 12th, 2022. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening.
Down the street in my 6'4". I never had a 6'4". A kid can wish though. I snapped the wishbone and grabbed a fistful. Chilling with the dopey, this a weed is all I wish for. I'm feeling blissful. I got a missus, my ginger always down to ride no matter what the mission. I'm singing this song, got a couple albums out. We do alright, but it ain't really shit to write home about. Like to feed the fishbowl, keep my stories mystical. I like my beats boom bap and rap to be lyrical. I'm feeling cynical, craving a little ritual. Save my place in line while I try to find a miracle. I keep looking, but never find nothing. We've been lied to, thinking this surprise under super secret lies. Motherfuckers sneak inside, going dark now. Believe me when I say this shit is do or die. Going dark now, believe me when I say this shit is do or die. Going dark now, believe me when I say this shit is do or die. inches, trying to stay offensive. Trespassing here like this land looks expensive. Ain't no time like the present, trying to stake a claim. Just make sure your claim stays away from all these other claims. We're almost kind of running out of land here, living in the day of the dead, and it's damn weird. Same teams, y'all, we just trying to get a bite to eat, a little rest saved up, waiting for my time to sleep. Head down, middle fingers up, yo, I'm wide awake. Never hesitate to stay about 100 miles away. Seven time and space while the wrecking ball the place. I expect you all to play, running marathons today. When the sick get sicker and the rich get richer, it might be about time to rearrange our dinner. Fix the system, the shit, it's all nixed. Waking up early, gonna suck today's. Going dark now, believe me when I say this shit is do or die. Going dark now, believe me when I say this shit is do or die.
Clark's a great guy, man. He's totally gonna take care of Angela, man. He's great. He's a wonderful lab partner, so it's gonna be cool. We'll keep an eye on her.
Why don't you go fuck yourself, you weird little prick?
I'm a teacher, okay? You can't talk to me like that, guy.
I'm not a student, so I can say whatever the fuck I want.
Channel Spaces.